Good morning to you here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle and out there in Radio Land. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Herman Gayo speaking to you and inviting you to stay tuned to this worship hour. For the next hour, we thank you that God has sent you this way and that you're tuning in at your house to listen in to God's message. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you, we thank thee for this past hour that's done, gone from us. But we pray that the conviction, the instructions you've given us will not slip away from us. But you said to take heed how we hear. And our Father, we thank you that thou hast given us the understanding and the ear to hear that made us wise unto salvation, and that we may know more and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, and to beware of things that are happening around us today, as you want us to enjoy thee and to be happy and rejoice forevermore, that our name is written in the book of life. And Heavenly Father, this morning as we come to you, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, that our sins are covered by the blood. And Father, bless us in this hour. Bless those that are sick, wherever they may be this day. Lay thy healing hands upon them. Raise them up. And give them back to us, Lord Jesus. And our Father, bless this people here, and thou hast blessed them with material as well as spiritual things. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, just that thou art with us, thou art in us, and thou art leading and guiding us and directing us in our thoughts and our actions, and leading us in the way you want us to go. Our Father, we pray this morning for thy message as thou hast laid it upon our hearts, that the Holy Spirit will breathe through us, fill us, overshadow us as we bring thy message. For Christ's sake, we ask it in his name. Amen. Now let us turn to the first number, 405, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune our hearts to sing thy grace. And let's sing it out.
Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Your mercy never ceasing. Jesus, oh,
yes, hitherto he's brought us, and he'll bring us on home. Yes, I can say that from experience, that he's brought us to this hour. And he's promised that he's going to get us home at last. All by his grace. Yes, he'll roll the sea away. Last Sunday morning, we had the meeting of the Board of Trustees, and they nominated me unanimously as the pastor of this assembly, of this ministry. I am what I am because of the grace of God. I am here because of the grace of God as the pastor. And here on out, it'll all be of the grace of God, as it was in salvation. You know, we never are dependent upon ourselves for anything. I've learned in salvation as an awakened sinner to be a beggar. And I'm a beggar by the grace of God. And I'm still a beggar. I still need grace. And even when we come down to the end of life's way, we're going to need dying grace. God's going to give it to us. As he gives us living grace, he'll give us dying grace. And I praise him for it. So everything that we are, what we are, who we are, is because of the grace of God. And that's what makes grace so great, that it's in the hands of the Lord God Almighty and him alone. And he dispenses it to whom he pleases. He directs it. But I praise the Lord this morning that he made me a choice of his grace, a purpose of his. And last Sunday night, the congregation confirmed that nomination unanimously as the pastor. I didn't feel any different. I just felt like old Herman Gale yet. But it didn't change my Lord. He still remained the same. You know, you never know until you hear. And as you receive the office of pastorship, you'll never understand. You'll never understand. I never did. We often thought about the pastor who's going home to be with the Lord, what a responsibility he had. I know one time in the old church across the street, I was sitting down near two pews down near the front, and he was preaching under a burden. And he looked at me and he says, "Herman, I wish it was you up here instead of me. I'll give it to you right now if the Lord would lead me, will it to me." I thought a lot about that. But you know, the burdens, the problems that have arisen even since last Sunday, even since the last two or three days, they have astounded me. I have been astonished at some of it. But for the grace of God, like I told someone yesterday, I'd run 1,000 miles if I could. And that party says, "I'd run with you too." Another one says, "I'd run with you too." This is a New Testament church. This is God's work. And the responsibilities and the problems will always be here. I never intend to be without a problem, without an anxiousness of soul, of spirit. Because there's always going to be opposition. I don't care where it is, in and out. But God's opening my heart to many things, my eyes to many things. And I feel like I'm becoming in myself a different man. Can't smile no more like I used to because of the seriousness of the situation. I hardly slept last night because of the situation that's arising. But I know one thing. God's on the throne. God has put me here. God's made me a pastor, a leader. God's given me a heart of compassion for sinners, all sinners, every type of sinners. And as God gives me grace, I'm going to fulfill that office that He has charged me with. I want to read you something right now. I want you to turn with me to Second Timothy. In that fourth chapter and that first verse, I charge thee, Paul speaking to Timothy, Paul in the Roman prison, knowing that his end was near, he charged Timothy, and this was the charge that he gave him. And he did not give this to a board or to a church, but he gave it to Timothy, the one that was going to stand up and fight, the one that was going to lead, the one God was going to ordain to bring the message. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And that's true. Preach the word. Didn't say anything about showing movies or having programs and plans. Preach the word. And that's what Paul did. And this was a challenge to Timothy, a charge. Preach the word. And this is the word I have before you. Be instant in season and out of season. Whether there's any moving of the Spirit, whether there's any awakened souls, or anyone crying after the Lord, or whether there's any stirring, whether things seem to be all right or not all right, he says continually, this is the charge, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. And what he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now let me tell you something, people, this morning. It means something to know the Lord. It means something to know Christ. It means something to know Christ. But he said he gave that charge to Timothy. and I felt it striking down deep in my heart like I had this past week. I give thee the charge to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering, patience. Preach the word. You've noticed I haven't gone astray too far from the word. I've stayed with it. As God gave me utterance, I've stayed with it. Because it's his word that's a two-edged sword. It's his word that burns like a fire. It's his word that uncovers and brings to light the hidden things. And a person either gets honest or he gets dishonest. The word of God lays bare the heart, searches down deep in the heart, and lays it bare. Cuts it in half. And you cannot escape it. The word of God, right there. And the thing that sinner will do, he will do either one or the other. He will deny it. He'll close up and run. Or either he'll surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit in his heart, confess everything, acknowledge everything, come clear and come clean with the Lord Jesus Christ. But preach the word. Preach the word. Be true. Be true. Be faithful unto him. Be faithful unto him. Be true to the word of God. Be true to the Lord that called you. And like I mentioned, the brother Weiss up in Hattiesburg, talking about that the Lord would cancel my commission and put somebody else here, because I know what I'm getting into. God's opened my heart. I know what I'm getting into. I know. I said, the Lord would cancel my commission right now. I thank him and praise him. He says, Brother Herman, he says, I've never known, I've never heard of where God canceled somebody's commission to preach. I appreciated that. Then the only thing I can do is go ahead and preach. Go ahead and labor. Be watchful. Ever watchful. And I'm watchful for this church. I'm watchful for you. You may tell me that you're saved, but I'm watching your life to see if your life adds up to the word of God here. To see if you are saved. And I tell you what, if you're saved, if every one of you is telling me that you're saved and you know Christ, you'll back me to the nth degree. I mean, you'll back me to the nth degree. Now, the board nominated me last week with the approval of the church. And I praise the Lord for it. But the board doesn't govern my life. There's not one individual that governs my life or sways my life one way or the other, except the Lord. I move and I have my being in him. And he's my authority. And I'm not to give over to any individual, but only to give over to him. And I praise the Lord for it. Otherwise, I'd be trying to please every individual in here, and everybody's got a problem. But I'm to please my Lord and the charge he's given me, and I'm going to be faithful to that charge. And if you're my friend, you're a friend that's going to stick close to me and you're going to be with me. And you won't do anything to try to undermine me or sway me or to try to set up any system whatsoever. But first, you come to me with your problems. You come to me with what you think. If it's for the furtherance of the work, or what you might see might be not be done correctly, might be done wrong, you come see me. I'm the all authority that God's invested here in this church, in this assembly. I'm the final authority. I'm just stating the office I have. You can be here and you would have to do the same thing. The responsibility. And I'm not going to be controlled by any, under any one individual or influenced by any one individual. It doesn't matter who it may be. My life is controlled by the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory. If I were to give over to you completely, then this ministry, then you might as well get rid of me and get somebody else who you can pat on the shoulder, say smooth things to, wrap around your finger, use as a sitting duck if you want to. But I know the charge God's given me. Now, that's not my message, but that just precedes what the Lord has laid upon my heart to tell you. I battled this thing through the night. I didn't sleep. I asked my wife. We tossed to and fro all night with problems. God's given me a good wife, and I praise the Lord for her. She's battling this thing with me. She's behind me. And she's concerned about me. I've got you behind me. I've got many of you. I tell you, I praise the Lord for you, that you're with me. Many of you told me by mouth and by letter, you're with this ministry, you're with me. God's put you there. Now let's turn to the third chapter of Revelation and see what God has for us in store here for the next half hour. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, but thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, listen here now. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now listen this. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. As if he's speaking to us today, thou hast a few names in First Baptist Church of Algiers that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white garment, white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now let's go down. and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man open it. Now when God opens the doors, no man is able to shut them. But when God shuts the door, no man is able to open it. Now what does that mean? I'm just passing. God's opened this lighthouse here, this place of worship here, the radio message as it goes out over the air. He's opened this place for the gospel, that it may go forth by his Holy Spirit, calling sinners unto repentance, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know thy works. But then again he says, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man open it. Now the Lord would have shut this place off for the gospel. You may have others in this door here with a profession. But Christ is gone. The Holy Spirit is gone. Conviction is gone. And without conviction, there is no repentance. Without repentance, there's no new birth. Before no new birth, there's no salvation. And Christ is no living reality. You'll have an empty hell. The substance is gone. But I'm declaring this morning that I'm going to preach and I'm going to labor, because as God leads me and gives me strength and gives me utterance, if it's just a few here that know the Lord, as he said in that church of Sardis, he says, I know there's a few there that have not defiled themselves, that have not allowed themselves to become defiled or swayed one way or another, but have stood with you, have been true to you, and have labored together. He says, I know there's a few there. Now the thing about that I'm concerned about, and what you're concerned about, it, are you with us? Are you in this thing with your whole heart and with all your life? Or are you in it to gain, for purpose, for revenge, or for try to get even, or try to utter in your program, or whatever you might have in mind, other than to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he tells us there. He says, I know there's a few there who have not defiled their garment. Now, you don't think that a pastor doesn't watch the flock. I've had this said to me. Others have said it. You know, there are reasons why they elected you as the pastor. They saw that you were had lamb-like features, quiet, humble. And maybe perhaps they might use you to insert their different things into the church. Their own ideas. The thought struck me. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to the Jordan to be baptized. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb slain, humble, meek, lowly in heart. He's my example. But when he comes back, he's going to come back in the fierceness, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to come back riding on a stallion of a white horse. Judgment. To take vengeance against those that love not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who love not the truth. He's going to come back with a sword. How many times has the pastor made that remark? He says, when I'm up here, I'm like the lion of the tribe of Judah, sending forth, booming forth the message. So don't mistake my humility and my lamb-like features or my humbleness. It's one that you can make a stepping stone to get in position. Because I don't belong to myself. I'm not led by myself. God's leading me. God's opening my heart. God's teaching me. And God's showing me things. He's giving me discernment and wisdom. And I praise the Lord for it. But like I told you before, and I'll say it again, I'm going to give my very blood, if it has to be, for the truth, for the gospel. And like Paul says, I come to conclusions more and more. The man who is to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to be true to souls, he knows no individual after the flesh, whether it's kin or friend. And, but he does praise God for everyone that walks with him, that are loyal and true, and they love him just for himself and for God's sake. I praise the Lord for the attitude of Brother Grammer this week. I work with him. We work together in the home. I praise the Lord for him and his wife. He's told me, he says, Brother Herman, I'm going to follow you as I follow the pastor. Thank you. Says, I'm under your authority. So thank you. Now that's the type of attitude a pastor loves. And I see nothing subtle about that attitude. He's forthright. Shows himself, his colors, he's Brother Grammer. And then there are others. I can just say the same thing. But God is going to bring to light those things that were hidden there a long time. I haven't given my resignation to my job yet. I got the letter all written. I'm supposed to go see him tomorrow. But like I told Brother Messer yesterday, he was at my house working. And I said, you know, I'd like to run 1,000 miles away from here, get away from it all. He says, I'll be right after you. I'll be right with you. But I have to go tomorrow to my job. Now, the thing about it, I know what I'm getting into. But God, the Lord, you know, I'm telling you this morning, I had the most gracious time and with the Lord. I got along with him. And Ms. Muriel called me up this morning and asked me how I rested last night. I said, I didn't rest too much. I didn't sleep too much. But I had the greatest time of my Lord this morning. At 5 o'clock, 5:30, quarter to five, I got up. I told the wife, I said, hey, I got to get up and do a little meditation and get along with my Lord. And he gave me victory over the situation. And once again, he says, I am with you. I am with you. And I'll be with you always. Always. But let's go down further. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. That got a hold of me last night. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews. Now, a Jew is not one that's outward, it's one that's inward. A believer is not one that just only speaks with the lips, that has outward form, but is one that's in the heart. Now, what is the Lord trying to tell me here? He's telling me right there. He's saying, I'm going to expose those to you that claim they are saved, but they are the synagogue of Satan, and they lie. Behold, listen to this, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Was God's love or love ever tested to you? Did you ever test God's love? I'll prove to them that I love you. And I'm faithful to that love. You're not going to be any sitting duck for any group, anybody. But I'm going to prove to you, to them, that I love you. All right, now what else? Behold, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, and the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I haven't gotten to the message. And we got about less than 15 minutes. But let's go as far as we can go. I'm going to let you go. Round 12. Now just listen. Look at that first verse of the third chapter. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Now the Lord is speaking here of a church. Now you get this. He's speaking here of a church that's trying to please the world, trying to please individuals in the church, trying to get along with people, rather than please the Lord Jesus Christ. When God calls an individual to preach, He commissions that individual to preach. First, He saves that individual. And then if He calls him, like Paul says, He called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Then later on, He says, He called me into this gospel. This came by revelation and not given to me by man. Now, if man would have given me this, if I never would have felt the full responsibility of it, and God was not dealing with my heart, and I tell you what, it's almost like being saved again. Then it would not be of God, but it would be of man. Then He would have to preach that which will satisfy man with what man likes, what they like to hear. Like Jeremiah says, they preach peace, peace, when there is no peace. I can't preach peace to you if you don't know Christ. I can only preach judgment to you. That's all I can do. I can preach repentance to you. You must repent. If you learn repentance on the Holy Spirit conviction, then you'll learn what peace is. But trying to preach peace to an unawakened sinner, a dead sinner, a vile and corrupt sinner, when there is no peace, and I'm doing that sinner a great injustice, that I'm not fulfilling the commission that God gave me. And so therefore He says, tells us there, He says, you're trying to please the world rather than please the... He accused the church of Sardis of doing that. But the most amazing thing, the glorious thing, the most merciful thing, is that God would call their attention to that and gave them space to repent. But also to remind them of those in there that did not follow after the craftiness of those that would want to lead them astray, lead them out, or lead them towards another gospel. So therefore, trying to please the world rather than please Christ is great error. And it does more harm. It does all the harm. Now what happened to that church that the Lord would indict them with such statements as that? Huh? There was no compassion for lost souls. The tears were dried up. Their prayer life was dried up. Oh, they were living. They were doing their duties in the office, out of the office, in the missions, doing their duties. But no compassion for lost souls. No crying out unto the Lord for a spiritual revival. No crying out unto the Lord for an awakening. It's amazing to hear some people pray. Seems like they pray, that's the first time they prayed in 6 months, some of them. A New Testament church is a praying church, is a laboring church, is a church that desires to see souls saved, if it's your own loved ones in your home. It sees sinners crying out, I want to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to know Christ. Their tears were all dried up, like some of your tears are dried up. And there are many reasons why those tears have dried up. You have become self-satisfied, self-contented. You have allowed things to come in your life pleasures. You may have allowed bitterness or jealousy to come in your life. You find it so hard to pray, so hard to cry. Yes, there was no compassion for lost souls. No Holy Spirit conviction of the lost. Lately, I've had sinners come to me asking me to pray for them, that they were lost. I praise the Lord for that. There is some stirring here, some awakening, some desiring after the Lord Jesus Christ, especially of you who don't know the Lord. Oh, I wish I could see more of it. I wish I could see you telling me, getting on your prayer bones and crying unto the Lord. Like they come and ask me to pray for them. I say, yes, I'm praying for you, but won't you go to praying unto the Lord. Go to crying unto the Lord. I used to go to my pastor, and years ago, when God awakened me, I would go here and go there and go there, asking everybody to pray for me. I was getting some kind of comfort out of that, some kind of ease, that somebody was praying for me. But brother, when you get an earnest for your soul, and you see your desperate situation, and your soul becomes very anxious, you become an anxious inquirer into the way of salvation, I guarantee you, you'll probably stop asking people to pray for you, and you'll get to praying yourself, and crying to the Lord, not me, Lord, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, Lord. In a church given over to the world, given over to programs and plans, entirely taken up with those things, you don't see none of that. And we had better be careful, we had better be fearful, that very thing can happen here. We get interested in programs and plans, religious duties, and, like someone called me the other day, from the Ecumenical Council across the river, one of the staff, and invited me over to their luncheon Monday evening. Asked me if I would come. I said, no, thank you. Would you change your mind? No, I won't change my mind. Now, why is it? Then he says, later on, we're giving something else. And could I depend upon you coming? I said, no. Do you know anything about this? I said, yes, I do. I read about it, and I'm in full disagreement with it. Because the world controls it. Let's all get along. We're all right now. We're all going the same place, but by different routes. Listen, brother, listen, sister. If you have never known repentance as a lost sinner, you'll never know the righteousness of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Christ is your heart and your life, your salvation, and not the church, and not a board, not a plan? Can I fellowship? No, I cannot. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and not with those who reject the truth of God's Word, the Holy Bible. And as one stand I took yesterday, I told him, I said, I appreciate you calling, but I would rather not go. Well, we're trying to get all the churches together and get in this unity. I said, I understand exactly what you're trying to do. We don't want any part of it. My pastor was hammering along that line. He stood pat, and I can do nothing but that. Because that means I would have to compromise. Now, there are people on the outside, like I'm constantly telling you, that would want to get in here and insert a program like that. The church today is afraid to offend the world. And that's what this group is. They're afraid to offend one another. That's the reason why they compromise one with another. I saw a picture in the paper not too long ago with a group of them. That's the most amazing thing. I can't understand it. I just cannot understand it. But the church today is afraid to offend the world, and therefore, Christ is offended. The church, as Sardis, had drifted into formalism. And formalism leads to rationalism. You know what rationalism is? Your idea and your opinion is as good as mine. God's word is left out. Spiritual drought begins to come in. Emptiness. The world comes in. And instead of us having our moving, our being in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're having our moving and being in the world. And everything is all right. Everything is fine. Let's all get together. But unless an individual forsakes all that he hath, he cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ's disciple. Now, we can go on and on, but I have about a minute. And I just got a few thoughts of the message. I may continue it next Sunday, the Lord willing, or I may continue it tonight. But let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Christ? Have you been brought to see yourself as a lost sinner? And do you know that to be a fact and a reality? And not just something that you heard and imagined? Let me tell you something. The new birth, salvation, is exactly what it is. Nothing minus. Minus nothing, plus nothing, is Christ, who is a living reality. To you in Radio Land, farewell till next Sunday. God bless you. And I tell you what, now here's a good way to size up what you got if you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you as an individual, and everyone comes to Christ as an individual, you walk with Christ as an individual, as if no one exists. But you as an individual, if you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit will is constantly pointing you to Christ, is constantly showing your need of cleansing, of confession, constantly clearing your heart of everything that will not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, will constantly clear your heart of all bitterness. If there's any bitterness that may arise in your heart, any jealousy that might be there that you might have allowed to come in, the Holy Spirit will convict you of that. You'll confess it, and by His grace, you'll forsake it, and you'll cry to God, "Why did I ever allow such things to come into my heart? That I ever let anything like that deceive me?" You may have arisen in opposition to your pastor. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit will show you that. If you're not saved, you'll continue to be there. And your bitterness will become more bitter, which will show that the root is still there and has never been plucked out by the Holy Spirit. Now, I can make it just as plain. I can't make it no plainer than that. I say many of those things with a sadness in my heart. Because I know what's going to happen to this church. I know what is going to happen to friends of mine who say they're my friends. But if they're not with me, they're against me. And if they're against me, they're against my Lord, who's called me. I can make it no plainer than that. Some of the friends I think are more close to me than any others. I'm afraid they don't get lined up. If they don't become true, they're going to rise up in resentment against me. And I would dare say the very ones who have appointed me on the board, who have nominated me on the board, some of them are going to rise up against me. Because I'm staying pat. Because you're going to find out I cannot be controlled. I will not be controlled by the board. The board will be controlled by me. Now that's some of the things the Lord has been showing me. I will not be controlled by any worker. I am to control that worker by the God's help. Not to dominate him, not to lord over him, but they're under the pastor's control. Every individual, because God speaks on the one voice of authority. He leads through that one voice, through the pastor, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else. And anyone who goes contrary to the pastor or tries to undermine the pastor or soft soap him, you had better be careful. Now, I know something else. There's been lots of remarks made, and I'm getting tired of it. Sly remarks. Trying to embarrass people. I've never seen some. You know that the Bible is clear on all that. Put away foolish jesting and be sober-minded. For the day is far spent and night is here. And there's no time for going around trying to embarrass people and make people feel so little and discourage them. I treat every sinner alike. I don't care who they are, where they are. I love Brother Davis. Sure, we got problems. He's got problems, I've got them. But I heard that down in Picayune, they like him. And they accept him. And I'm behind him. And nobody's going to try to make a fool of him in front of me or anybody else. Brother Willie, I love that little fella. I love him. And I'm behind him. I'm with him. My niece at the bookstore, I love her. And she's handling that bookstore the best she can. I love every office worker. But if we're not careful, we had better watch out that we don't start devouring one another. I know I've been preaching for unity and for love, but I wonder if that's what we need. You know what we need? We need repentance. Everyone needs repentance. You need confession. You need self-examination. Oh, search my heart, Lord. See if there be any wicked way there. Oh, that lest I become defiled and you turn away from me. Would you say that you one of those few that God can speak of that said that had not defiled themselves? Let me tell you something. You want a joyful life, a sweet life, a blessed life, is when your heart is cleared. Your heart is cleared before God, and naturally it will be clear before man. I want to live a life that the enemy or anyone cannot gainsay. Well, I caught you down there doing this, and I caught you down there doing that, and I saw you doing this, and I saw you doing that. I'm not perfect. Long far from it. And I sin. But I can only say I am what I am because of the grace of God and because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed me from every sin. And that's why I need the blood. That's why I need the cleansing, because I'm a sinner. If you ever see yourself as a sinner, a lost sinner, and see your need of the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be one of the greatest moments in your life. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's all you'll be able to say. And God saves you. Praise the Lord. Then I don't have to worry about scheming, about trying to get my ideas over, or trying to get my plans, or trying to shove this one out, trying to get this one out, and trying to just maneuver so I can get mine in. No, sir. I love old Brother Behan back there. He takes care of that payroll. He guards it. God's given him a charge to do that. And he's responsible, and God's going to hold him if he does otherwise. But he's guarded that payroll. He delights when the Lord's moving and opening hearts and setting the finance. But it feels like many of us, when the finances are low, we got to hang our head sometimes and mourn and groan and everything else. It's just natural. But I praise the Lord for him. Whatever we do it as unto the Lord, to the glory of the Lord. I've said all I could. I don't have any more. God bless his word and his message. And may you learn something. May you go away asking the Lord to search that heart. See if you're in Christ or not. If you're living for the world, there's something wrong. If you're living like the world, there's something wrong. If you're cursing like the world, there's something wrong with you. If you lie like the world and you hold jealousy in your heart and bitterness, there's something wrong with you. Clear it before God. Give God the glory. Clear your heart before him. That Christ may come in. And then you will live that life in Christ that Paul always wanted to see his people. Let this life be in you. As it was in Christ. I can only talk to those people who know the Lord. Along that line. May God bless you. I'm glad you came this morning. And praise the Lord for the message he's given us. And for the instructions to our hearts. I love every one of you. I do. I love you. You don't know my heart. Many times we've got to take that the word of God and use it sometime like a sword, like fire. Sometime we've got to rebuke and exhort. But you know, if you know my heart is one of love, I'm longing to see you want to know Christ, coming to know every one of your children. I long after you. I long after you. May the God of all grace and all mercy deal with your heart and bring you to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is to love. Let's stand. Our Father, this morning we thank thee for thy presence with us, for thy love upon us, for thy glory that hovers above us. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, just for thyself today, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou will go with us through this day and delight our hearts in thee. Draw sinners unto thee. Open hearts. Break rebellion. Lord Jesus, break sin in the heart of thy people, that they'll come clear and come clean before thee. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen.